Yeah, I think for starters, it's like it's already difficult to get your point across being a female. Like when I tell people that I want to do, music or theater, and then there's kind of those backhanded compliments of like, yeah, you have the face for it, or like maybe you don't have the face for things like that, where it's like, okay, thanks. And then I've had multiple male friends I know who will say to me, but you're Asian, but
Dear Asian Girl, for Asian girls, by Asian girls.
Hey everyone, welcome to our 22nd episode. And today we're going to be talking about Asian women representation in filmmaking and all that fun stuff and in theater. And today I'm with Maddie. Do you want to introduce yourself, Maddie?
Sure. Hi, my name is Maddie, as Elena already said. I am biracial. I'm half Chinese, half white, and I'm currently a junior at Stanford Online High School.
Yep, so Maddie is one of my friends from OHS, and so that's kind of how I know her. But the main reason why I wanted her to be a guest on this episode was because I'm writing a script and I needed some advice. So Maddie was very helpful and she helped me on my script, and so she's kind of been advising me on that, so I knew that she would be very helpful for like kind of engaging dialogue in this podcast episode. So yeah, Maddie, do you want to kind of talk about your experience in film? I know you mainly work in theater, but that definitely goes hand in hand with filmmaking, and just like your experience in general, like what you do. And yeah,
sure. So my primary focus and interest is really like in the musical theater world and the classical music world. But I recently, about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, became really interested in film and writing screenplays. So I love writing in general. I love writing, poetry and essays and just novel chapters and things like that. So I started looking at films in kind of a different lens about a year ago and thinking, what is the process that they use to bring films to life? And so that's when I really started doing a lot of research about screenplay writing and about directors. And I would start watching films with the screenplay with me, so I could see like what changes they make or things like that. So that's how I got interested in screenplay writing and the film side of that. I definitely have more experience with musical theater though. I've been extremely interested and just following along with that community since a very young age. And I've done like series of shows and cabarets and training, and musical theater is a thing I want to go into the future. So I probably have like more valuable talking points in that area, but yeah, but film is still something that's really fascinating to me.
No, I think theater is one thing that I can never do because I like get way too scared to be on a stage. So props to you for that. But kind of looking more at like our experiences, I mean, you mentioned you like looking at screenplays and writing screenplays and just kind of looking at like the script and the behind the scenes of filmmaking. I think that's one thing that's interesting that we have a similarity is that we are, I mean, obviously you like theater as well, so you're on the stage, but looking at like the film side of it, I'm definitely an avid like behind the camera person. Like I cannot be in front of it. And I think that's one thing that's very important in filmmaking is it's very important to have representation behind the camera because that's something that people overlook. And so I don't know, what are your thoughts on like representation behind the camera and just like making sure that's a significant thing that needs to be like, prioritized, I guess?
Yeah, so straight off the bat, I definitely think there needs to be more representation both in front of the camera and behind the camera. And I know that's a very sort of obvious thing to say, like I'm not saying anything new by mentioning that, but I think if you talk to people and you ask them about, major films that they can think of off the top of their head that feature Asian casts, what normally comes to mind, at least based on like what I've heard, is namely either Crazy Rich Asians or Parasite. Yeah. And both of those films came out within a 2-year span, which is not a good look in terms of representation and in terms of like overusing examples, because I think another example people use for showing inclusiveness and showing diversity is Hamilton. And that example is overused so much, but then I think it comes down to if you're having to overuse examples to get a certain point made, then do I even need to point out that there's a problem there? So I feel like there's already such a small space for female directors in the film industry, and then let alone having minority directors and minority female directors. So I feel like also just in the industry, I feel like there's kind of this almost like a barrier in the sense of, I feel like you have to do so much more to be able to reach the same level, because on the same side, if you ask about, you know, films featuring like white and Caucasian actors, there's so many that come to mind, whereas like for any minority, there's only like kind of a subset of groups that you think of. And there's only a subset of actors that I think people think of when you think of, you know, Asian actors or Asian directors or what quote unquote Asian films should be about. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but I think also when you look at quote unquote Asian films, you only see one specific narrative. And I haven't seen the show, but what comes to mind is Never Have I Ever.
Oh my gosh. On Netflix.
which I have not seen it, but just the premise of, you know, oh, I am an Asian girl who has been just so, you know, repressed and suppressed, and now I'm breaking away into my angsty teen phase. I feel like it's something that's recycled so much, and it's just such a overused narrative of what minority kids are supposed to look like or how we're supposed to act like. I mean, the number of times that I watch films featuring Asian actors or that are meant to give insight into like the quote unquote Asian experience, I just groan and I'm like, this is not my experience at all. Or even I think in Gilmore Girls, I only got through one episode of it because the sidekick is a really nerdy, I think, Korean girl. Her whole character trait is her parents wanting her to marry some rich Asian doctor or lawyer. And that's it, that's all we get. So yeah, that was a bit of a tangent, but I guess I'm just, to connect that back, my main issue is just one, the lack of representation, and then how the lack of representation leads to those stereotypes and stigmas around Asian actors and around Asian narratives.
Yeah, no, completely. And when you mentioned Never Have I Ever, I kind of talked about this, I don't know which episode, I'm always looking for an excuse to complain about it, but no, you're exactly right. And it's this whole idea, because we have this stereotype as Asians that we are like nerds and we're always taught one thing, be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, whatever, right? But that stereotype is further perpetuated by media. And then you have this whole, and Never Have I Ever, there's this angsty teen moment where she's like, oh, I'm gonna rebel, I'm gonna do drugs, I'm gonna have sex, I want a boyfriend. Like, you know, this whole thing that's then just puts Asians in a box. And one thing that I wanted to mention is, yes, Mindy Kaling did, I think, direct and produce it, which does show how sometimes even representation behind the camera isn't always accurate. Because no hate to Mindy Kaling, I do love her, I'm obsessed with the Mindy Project, but I think at times it becomes difficult when people of color and women of color specifically are directors and producing these films. They kind of are taught a certain narrative they have to make in a show in order for it to be successful. Like, I'm sure Mindy Kaling was able to voice her opinion on certain aspects of the show, but I don't think she was able to, I guess, control it in her way, because she knows that if she were to do something like a simple storyline about just an Asian girl just being a person in the world, that probably wouldn't have succeeded as much as like Never Have I Ever. So I think that's also important to recognize. And you mentioned like barriers for, I guess, women of color in filmmaking and media in general. That's definitely important, because I feel like one thing that not a lot of people recognize is this whole, I guess, cultural barrier that Asian women specifically have. And it's this idea of not going into the arts. So that in general, the internal familial like factors also kind of play a role in that. Because as myself, like, I'm interested in doing pre-med. I suck ass at bio. I'll tell you guys that right now. But as I mentioned, like, I'm interested in filmmaking, but it's difficult to make this decision between two things that I'm like looking at as future career paths, because filmmaking isn't a thing that you would expect an Asian woman to go into. Have you ever dealt with that yourself? I know you said you're in theater and you were at it for a young age. So, I mean, just wondering about your experience, if you've ever had these sort of internal things pushed towards you.
Oh gosh, definitely. So I've never had this. I'll say this though, and I love my parents for this. I've never felt that from them. My mom is a pianist, so it would be in the first place, it would be very hard for her to discourage me from going into music and theater and things like that. And then my dad is, you know, as long as I'm happy. But and I'll throw this out, and I don't, and I just want to make the point that most of the time when I've been told, you know, like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing music, et cetera, like, you're Asian, you shouldn't be doing that. It's been from upper class white males. And so, yeah, I think for starters, it's like, it's already difficult to get your point across being a female. Like when I tell people that I want to do, you know, music or theater, and then there's kind of those backhanded compliments of like, yeah, you have the face for it, or like maybe, you know, you don't have the face for things like that, where it's like, okay, thanks. And then I've had multiple male friends I know who will say to me, but you're Asian, but you're good at STEM, but you like math. Like, why would you want to be poor? And why would you know, want to be homeless and things like that? And I even had someone say to me, that I should just marry rich and become a trophy wife, and then I don't have to bother doing Broadway at all.
No. Oh
Yes.
my
And
God. Actually.
then I had someone, the same person had said to me, so if, you know, musical theater doesn't work out, what are you going to do? And I was saying, well, I'd like to get an English degree, an English literature degree. And then this person said, and that qualify and they, and hang on, and they said this verbatim, and that qualifies you to what? Work at Starbucks as a barista. And
What?
so, yes.
Oh
And
my
so
God.
there's one end of the spectrum where it's like, why would you do that if you're good at this? Because you're Asian and you're a model minority, and don't most Asians do, like, don't they become doctors or lawyers or engineers? And then on like the other end of the spectrum, I have people kind of, or specifically men, mansplain things to me, where it's like, you know, I don't often say this, but I do think you're good enough to be successful in your field. And you never hear people say that to like to students who want to go into STEM. You know, I've never said to anyone or heard anyone say like, you know, I think you're good enough to be an engineer or something. So I feel like it's kind of that patronizing pat on the head of like, oh yeah, you know, she wants to do film and music. How cute, like how quaint. And then it gets added on top like, oh, but you're Asian, don't you automatically have some expectation on you to do something different? So yeah, I feel like those are the two ends that I get a lot.
Yeah, no, completely. And I think that's something that not a lot of people recognize is not only are we like women, but we're also women of color. So what you mentioned about having these two ends of the spectrum is, oh, people assume you're Asian, you should do like a STEM career path, right? And then they're like, oh, but you're a woman. So it's like, oh, well, you're not good enough to do that. Or, oh, you're good for a woman, you know? So it's like these two very condescending, I guess, perspectives that are like thrown at us. And I don't know, I just find it really frustrating because it's kind of tied back into this idea. And you mentioned that a lot of the time when people are like, you're Asian, you shouldn't be doing that, it's coming from people who aren't Asian. It's coming from white men. And as we mentioned several times, white men just really have the audacity. They have the caucasity. That's what they have. And so I think it's like, it goes back to this idea of like why we need more women of color in fields, in the artistic fields like filmmaking, because media is such a powerful tool. And so by these white men assuming that since you're Asian, you should do a STEM like career, where is that linked to? You know what I mean? Like it's linked to what they see perpetuated in media. That, oh, Asians are only good at one thing, and that's science or math or engineering. And so by them seeing this like very single one-way narrative, they kind of apply that to every single Asian person they see. And so that's why I think like with shows like Never Have It Ever, and I think like To All the Boys I've Loved Before, like shows like that, it's very one-sided. The character isn't seen as like a person. They're seen as like just either being the entirety of the race that they are, or like being like an angsty teen because they've been so like sheltered or had overbearing parents. So I think that's definitely a stereotype that needs to be like I guess taken over and like fixed by like people in that industry. And so that's why I think it's important to have like people like us interested in the industry to go and change this narrative. And so I don't know how it applies to theater though, but have you had any experiences in regards to like theater work and just like anything in that side of, I guess, like film?
I guess in terms of theater, I've definitely had experiences where I wouldn't get roles because I was Asian. I remember specifically in one theater company, we were going for, another girl and I were going for the same exact role. And I guess I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but like I know my own voice and I know my own talent and I know like, I guess I just know the scope of like kind of the musicality I have in a sense. So I knew that I had a very good chance of getting that role going up against this girl. And then she ended up getting the role, and the show is set in the 1950s and it's meant for white leading ladies and white leading males. And she had, you know, long blonde hair, blue eyes, very pretty. So, and then you could tell that and it wasn't even done in kind of a more less obvious way, I guess, but because they kept us both going at each other for so long, they kept us there until, I think I got there at 6 p.m. and then we were there until 10 p.m. going back and forth, reading the same lines, working with like the same, working with the guys who were up for the male roles. And so going back and forth, like that. And then I've definitely had experiences where more often than not, if I walk into an audition room or if I'm waiting in the hallway and we're going and auditioning one at a time, I will be the only Asian person there. That's it. So it almost becomes in that sense like, oh great, now I get to be the token Asian kid in the ensemble or like the token Asian kid in the show, which is frustrating. And then it's actually funny. I had a conversation with someone a couple days ago, and she's Asian, she's Chinese, and she said to me, you know, growing up, I always wanted long blonde hair and blue eyes because that's all I saw in the media. That's all I saw as like the happy ending for, you know, the only way to get the guy or to get that ending was to look like that. You know, I didn't want black hair or, you know, brown eyes and things like that. And that kind of like unlocked this memory for me being like, wait a minute. So this is a common experience where it's like, if even like beauty and talent is only perpetuated in one scope, then like growing up, if that's all you ever see, then like, why would you even bother to venture looking into career paths like that if you think, oh, it's only made for one type of person? So yeah, I mean, that's the experience I've had it with theater. I definitely think that Broadway is diversifying itself a lot more in terms of, I hate to use this term, but being like colorblind in their casting. And I that's a problematic term, I know, but I think, and I keep going back to this example, but if you just look at like Hamilton and, well, the only Asian cast member in the original cast is Philippa Soo, who is biracial. From Hamilton, she was also in another show called The Great Comet of 1812, and she was playing a Russian princess or part of a Russian aristocratic family. And so, and then she went on to play Amelie on Broadway, which is a French role. So I feel like in that example, I would much rather see women of color in roles that have nothing to do with their race, and they're just allowed to, you know, be a person and allowed to act, I guess, rather than like have some corporate BS shoved down my throat of this is what Asian women are good for, like this is what women of color look like in their specific role, and if they don't act like that in real life, then there's something wrong with them. So
yeah, and I think, and as I mentioned, I'm not experienced in theater, but I definitely see it as well, and it's kind of like interesting to see like the steps that they're taking to make it more diverse, like the whole idea of being colorblind. And that's definitely like, I hate that term as well, but I understand like the way that you're explaining it. And it's something that I've noticed like a lot, and I don't have experience in like acting, so I really don't know like the process of like auditions and stuff, but I can definitely see how being a woman of color is an issue when it's a part set as like a white person, you know? And so I don't know, just that entire experience and the fact that the white girl ended up getting it is disappointing, but honestly not surprising considering like the way that like the structure and like the system of the film industry works. And yeah, so kind of what you mentioned, like for me, I was watching Grey's Anatomy last night, and I think one character, Christina, she is Asian, and I love her. I love the actress. I'm forgetting her name right now, but her character in the episode I was watching, she was like a brown noser. She was like the teacher's pet. She like was trying to do everything that her like attending wanted or whatever, right? And that made me so angry because all the other characters who are white were like idolized, and she was just like the person who's like trying the hardest to be like the best at something. And so, I mean, I love that show, still watch it religiously, but it just is kind of interesting to see how it comes in so many different forms in our media, and it's fed to us so subconsciously that it's like normalized at this point, and it's like difficult for us to like kind of separate it. And I don't know, but I think it's like kind of upsetting to see it in that sense. And so, I mean, as for like, I've never seen Hamilton, but like, and I feel I need to watch it soon, but like, but did you mention the character in there? She's biracial, right?
Yes, she plays Eliza Hamilton.
Okay, so I guess that's like, I guess I could see as how that's like a step in the right direction. But I definitely, like going back to what you said earlier, like about overused examples, like using Hamilton as an example of like diversity in theater is like, it's kind of almost like a double-edged sword, because it's like, yes, it's a great example of diversity, but the fact that it's being reused also shows how like homogenous the entire field is. And like, again, with the whole idea of Crazy Rich Asians and Parasite, I watched Parasite like 3 times for my paper for one of my classes. It was actually for ELC, for Panopticon. And
wow, cool.
Yeah, it was actually very fun. But I mean, just the fact that it was, I believe it's like a Korean show, and how much backlash that it got when it won. Was it like, I don't know which award it won, but
I think it was best film.
Yeah, it was something like that. And just the amount of backlash that it got is like really like difficult to see, because if it was like any other like film with like a white person like as the lead role, which I mean the majority of the films are, there's never any backlash for that. So it's like interesting to see like this whole double standard of that. And I don't know, I just think this in general, and you kind of mentioned this before we started recording as well, but just like the cast or like the people who run the awards as well need to be diversified, because that gives a different opinion to be voiced on who deserves to win or like be nominated or whatever. So I don't know, I know you said you had some information on that as well, if you want to share.
Oh yeah, sure. So I just did some fast facts this morning, so correct me if I'm wrong, probably someone will listen to this and they're gonna be like, she's way off base here. But I found a list for the 2020 to 2021 Oscars committee, and I went through the list, and it's a panel of around 16 people, at least like only around 16 people's names were listed. And there was only one Asian woman out of that entire panel, and her specific focus was short films and the feature animation branch. And I believe her name is Jennifer Nelson. And then I did the same thing because I was curious for the Tony Awards committee for 2020 to 2021, and it's out of 54 members. And out of those 54 members, I looked through each one of their bio pages, and I checked their experience, and only 7 of those actors, or not actors, 7 of those members of the committee are Asian. And then out of that, I believe 5 of those 7 are women of color. And so you just think like, okay, if you have a panel of 54 people, and then only 7 of those are representing like that side, or I guess that even leads to like, are we discouraging Asian Americans and then just like women of color from going into fields like that? So I feel like, yeah, just looking at that and seeing such a small number, well, it's both, I guess on one hand, I would hate to look at everything as like, well, this is bad and this is what's wrong and tear the whole thing down. Whereas so, you know, on one side, it's definitely good that there is that representation, that we're getting there, and hopefully, you know, in a while we can get to double that number and then triple, et cetera, et cetera. But then on the same side, it's like, are we discouraging people from doing it because we make it feel as though there's so few opportunities and places for women of color to fit in there. So, and then I have like a little list of, you know, just films featuring Asian cast members, and it's very few, and all of the films are from within the past 2 years, which is concerning. And then I definitely found more representation, I'll say that since my tongue is twisting, within Broadway shows. where, you know, for you have predominantly Asian casted shows such as Miss Saigon, which I know is a problematic show right now. And then you have Allegiance, which had George Takei and Lea Salonga, both legends. And then you have shows like The King and I. The King and I is written by two white composers, so it is also slightly problematic in its portrayal, but there is sort of that representation there. But then there's definitely a lot of shows, and more often than not, there are recent shows that include Asian cast members, but they're not placing that emphasis on, look how not racist we are, you know, putting Asian people in our cast. But it's more of like, you have this person there and they're just that person, they're just that actor. You don't look at them and think like they're portraying a stereotype, if that makes sense. So I guess definitely what I'm trying to say in a very convoluted way is that in examining film and Broadway, I feel like Broadway is kind of on that path, maybe because it's live theater and because it's only focused in New York. Whereas film, I feel like there's still so many stereotypes that are being perpetuated. And I feel like it's more dangerous in film because Broadway is a very niche thing. You know, like you're only gonna find it if you look for it. It's not gonna have like a global impact, or if it does, it's only, you know, occasionally, right? Whereas film, that just gets like forced down people's throats every day. So yeah, I guess I'm just trying to say that I feel like the danger is more present in film.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of explaining it, because I didn't really think about it that way, because of course, like Broadway is definitely a very smaller scale like thing that you, as you mentioned, you have to kind of look for it. But what you said was so true about the idea of like film being forced down your throats for people, because it's something that you can't really escape. I mean, even if you're not into film, you're still watching TV shows, you're still watching media, you're still seeing what's presented to you. And a lot of the time what's presented to you isn't accurate and it's not representative of society as a whole. And I think that's also what makes it difficult, is like female directors, Asian directors are so rarely given like a platform. I mean, for me, like I really look up to like Mira Nair, who made Mississippi Masala, and she also made Queen of Katoway. And then also Sharmeen Obechanoy, who made a lot of documentaries. And then Minhal Baig, who made Hala, which I've talked about before. And those are just three South Asian directors. I mean, I can't really speak on East Asian or Southeast Asian, but as for South Asian directors, these women have made so many films that are like better at representation for Asian women than what I've seen from like other directors. And they're rarely ever spoken about. And I think Queen of Katoway was one of the films that a lot of people talk about, because I mean, it was like a very bigger budgeted, well, not big budget, but like bigger film, I guess, the response that it got. So, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, even people in the film industry who are actually trying to give accurate like representation, or the closest you can get to it, are rarely ever talked about. So I think that also needs to change for sure, because I mean, like we're only ever like in like taking in media like Never Have I Ever for as Asian representation, when there's definitely so many more people coming in the industry who are doing better at like the idea of like representation for Asians. So I definitely do think from what you said that theater is on the right path for this, and film does need some more improvements because it is such a larger, like, I guess, platform. So I think there will be, hopefully, I'm praying, some change in a representation for Asians in media. But
I guess my main thing, and this is, I guess, kind of an expected answer, but just being able to educate yourself in terms of like finding new media and discovering directors and discovering those films. I know even for me, I say a lot about representation, and I say a lot about, you know, being an ally and supporting women of color. And then I don't think I could name three East Asian female directors. I can't name three of them. So like, even I definitely like need to, English. I guess what I'm saying is even I need to branch out in that sense. So I feel like on one hand, if you're someone who is watching films or watching theater and you see stereotypes and it intrigues you and you think like, is that really what that's like? Then it's up to you as the audience member, and this is sad, but it's true. It's up to you as the audience member to be able to go and find that information and then make that difference yourself, you know? So that's, I guess that's the really the only thing we can hope for until people like you and people like me, we grow up and we get older and then we have the ability to have more domination over that field and to be able to speak out and be heard. Because I feel like right now a lot of people would look at me and think like, yo, you know, poor you, like whatever, just teenage angst in that sense. So yeah, so I feel like just being able to have the right information so then when you get to a platform where you have more power and more influence over your base or I guess anyone who looks up to you, then you can spread that same information and just hope that people will grow and learn from it. Even though I think we're very far away from being at a place where it's truly equal and, you know, everyone has the same advantages as each other and everyone starts at the same playing field. So I guess, yeah, we can still look forward to it. And I think in the meantime, there's just, you have to be the person to enact that change rather than, you know, sit back and complain about it and then say like, oh, well, you know, that's enough for today. But being able to go into those spaces where you can make that difference. So yeah, that was a bit of a tangent. Sorry.
No, it's totally fine. And I completely agree. I think y'all will see Maddie up on the stage being big, being famous. And so I'm excited to see what you're going to do in the theater industry and also in the film industry, because I think what you've said in like our discussion so far is we need more people like you in this industry. So good luck. And I'll be supporting you. I'm your number one fan. Okay. So
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Of course. Same to you. When you're writing screenplays and directing and filming.
Thank you. So yeah, Maddie, I really appreciate you coming and discussing with me the film industry, theater industry, and just representation in general, because it's a big topic and it needs to be discussed more often, because as we mentioned, it's so subconsciously affecting people. So, but yeah, thank you all for listening to this episode and make sure to stay tuned for the next one.
Want more of Dear Asian Girl? You can find us everywhere on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. We're on everything. Can't get enough? Subscribe, follow, rate, review to get all the updates on the latest at DAG. Let us know your feedback and what we can do to improve. We also can be found on Instagram. Follow us at Dear Asian Girl to receive updates about our latest episodes and fun facts about the host. We'd love for you to reach out. DAG, Dear Asian Girl, a podcast dedicated to share the stories of Asian girls everywhere. For the Asian girl, by the Asian girl.